And that was The Birds, Tulsa County, and we're back live in the KRFY studios. And this is, by the way, KRFY Ponderay at 88.5. That's our legal ident. And I am Susie Prez, and I am very happy to be here live in the studio with a local musician, singer-songwriter, Karen Atkins. Welcome, Karen, and thanks so much for saying yes to coming in today.
Yeah, thank you, Susie. It's fun to be here.
It's always fun to have live music in the studio, because you never know what's going to happen.
You never do.
So right on. So we're here because KRFY is having an on-air radio celebration. And part of what we do is we are arts and education, and arts is music. So that's our FCC has granted us a license as a community radio station to have that be our focus and our general operation. So Karen, it would be really fun to get to know you a little bit. You've got a beautiful Taylor guitar in your hand, and we can't wait to hear it. But it's always nice to get to know someone who's going to play music. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your musical background? Where did it start? You said you're from the East Coast, and you've landed here in Sandpoint. We can get into a little bit of all that.
Sure. Well, I think it might have started in the womb, but let's say by the time I was 2 years old, I was begging my mother for piano lessons. And so I actually started on the piano. She wouldn't let me take them until I was three, because my sister was taking lessons and I used to follow her to the lessons. And I had some favorite songs, and I just was always listening to music and into music. And so I played the piano for many years until kind of junior high, when, you know, just started getting more social and playing sports and just didn't have as much time. So I quit music, I quit the piano. My father was very upset about the fact that I wasn't playing music. So he reminded me one night of how amazing the guitar was, and that if I ever wanted to take guitar lessons, that he would love to help me with that.
Did he play guitar?
He did, and he does. It's one of his favorite things to do. And so I said, he showed me a few things, you know, some years before, because he mostly played finger picking blues, which was not necessarily my favorite genre, but, you know, I'd love to play with him. And so when I was a freshman in high school, I was on the field hockey team with a friend of mine, and I thought she was really cool. And she told me that she was starting an all-girls band, and she needed a guitar player, and did I know anyone who played the guitar? And I said, no, but my father has always been wanting me to play, and he told me he'd give me lessons. So if I start taking lessons tomorrow, maybe I'll be good enough to be in your band pretty soon. And so she was like, that's great. So I went home that night, and I asked my dad, can we do it? And he was all for it. And a month later, I was playing Day Tripper in front of like 800 people at my high school auditorium for the Thanksgiving festival.
Now there's a story for sure. That's great. So your dad really sparked that.
He did.
Well, at least the guitar part of it. And it started with piano. It often does. Let's get those kids some piano lessons. But the guitar is so handy. What do you like about the guitar, or what did you learn to like about the guitar once you started lessons? What were those early performances like? How was that?
Well,
how old were you again?
When I started to play, I was 14.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. And my grandmother, she played the piano, which is one of the reasons why I played the piano. And then when she died, when I was five, so I inherited her piano. So, but the guitar, I love the guitar because, as my father told me, it's very versatile. You know, first of all, you can take it with you, which you can't with the piano. So, you know, if you're at a party hanging out, you know, unless somebody has a keyboard or piano, you can't really sit down and play. And so it's fun to travel with. But I always felt that there was something, and I still feel this way, because I didn't really start writing music right away. I was really just playing the guitar and expressing myself through the guitar. And so for me, the guitar was really a way to express parts of myself that I couldn't express any other way. And I still feel that way. Even though I sing and I write music, there's something about when I play the guitar that really allows me to I don't know, emit something that I can't, I don't feel like I can do any other way.
Do you think it's the vibrations of the strings so close to your body?
Maybe. I don't know. I've never really thought about it exactly, like what it is or why. But,
or the idea of rock and roll. We've all got a picture of people on stage doing rock and roll.
Yeah, well, funnily enough, you know, especially when I started, you know, you're a girl, you play the guitar, everyone goes, oh, you play classical? It's like, no, I don't even, no, and I don't even really play acoustic that much. You know, I started on electric guitar, and that's mostly what I've played, you know, electric lead guitar. Even that first gig, I played the solo on Day Tripper somehow with amongst many nerves, but yeah, so that's, I really like just the being able to, I don't know, play some different things on the guitar and make it sing.
So once your father said, guitar lessons, and your friends said, join our band, and you did, it's been forever since then?
It's been,
No big breaks or anything?
Well, I had a pretty big break, about a 15-year break, actually. And because I was on a trajectory, I played a lot of music in college. I recorded my first album in college, and then I moved to New York City because I was born in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Then I grew up outside the city in the suburbs, Westchester County in New York, and then I moved into the city after college, and I really wanted to have a career in music, and so I got pretty serious about it and was playing. For a few years, and then kind of went through a little bit of a, I don't know what you call it, spiritual crisis. I didn't love the music industry, as probably you can understand why. It's not really a fabulous place to be putting yourself. And I felt like I was kind of losing my soul through the process of getting involved in the industry in the way that I was at that time. And so I actually quit for a long time.
Did you find that that aspect was affecting your song ability to write songs that were truly coming from you?
I don't think it was, but it probably would have. It just felt like, yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, I think a lot of the people at the time when I said I was quitting, even my parents who actually used to come to all my gigs, they were very upset. They were like, but we love your music. Why are you stopping? And I think, you know, people would have said, oh, you're really authentic. But I felt that it was more things were being asked of me to be inauthentic. And I didn't want to go in that direction, you know. And I thought, well, I love music. I could just play music. Why do I have to be a performer? You know, what is that all about?
Well, at one point you thought, I'm going to have a professional career. But then you kind of evolved from that to seeing it as an art form.
Exactly.
And you went with the art form aspect rather than necessarily making the big bucks.
Yeah, which, I mean, big bucks, that's questionable too. But
I know, I was halfway joking about that. So you were playing in New York, mm-hmm. in the city?
I played mostly in the city. I did do one really cool tour in Italy. I opened up for a band called the California Guitar Trio, who are still playing. Actually, they're an amazing trio. They play, I did a guitar workshop with Robert Fripp, who you might know from King Crimson back in the day. And he was doing a guitar workshop, and I went there, and these guys heard me play, and they asked me to open up for them. And that was actually one of my last gigs. So we played like 13 gigs in 14 nights.
In Italy?
In Italy.
Oh.
So traveled all around Italy. Came back and had a gig opening up for someone named Tony Childs, who was around back then, at the Orpheum Theater in Boston, and then I quit.
So it sounds like you really could stand on your own two feet. You're a solo artist.
I did have a band in New York, and some amazing, amazing musicians, actually. I mean, a lot of them went to the New School for music back in New York. It was like a really up and coming. A lot of German, like just foreign people came, but there were a whole bunch of German musicians, and I played, the drummer and the bass player were German, and actually the keyboard player, who was just amazing. He went on to play with Snoop Dogg after me. And he was just incredible. His family was German, but anyway, so these guys were incredible. But I did do some solo playing. I mean, especially in Italy, I couldn't take the whole band. Couldn't afford it.
Right. So you had a really big career, it sounds like, in a way that you could handle in the old days. And then you took a 15-year break. And I think I have a lot of questions, but I think it would be really cool right now to hear one of your songs. I know you have one lined up to be number one. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? And then we'll get into the songwriting aspect about, you know, what we want to talk about. So do you want, sure. Do you feel up for that right
sure,
now?
Sure, sure.
Okay.
So I'm going to play a song called You're My Home, which is actually about a mountain in California where I lived for a number of years. And I wrote this song about the mountain because I felt so, I don't know, just something really awakened in me when I moved out to California. That's actually when I started playing music again. I had just been doing a lot of Qigong and building my energy back after some kind of challenging experiences in New York City. And the mountain just reawakened part of myself, I think, that had been sleeping for a while. So, and actually the song, the mountain, her nickname is Sleeping Lady. So that's the song's called You're My Home. Here we go.
You've been waiting.
That was stunning. Wow, Karen.
Thank you.
I had no idea what I was going to hear right there and then. Hey, I was thinking those folks back east that are listening to you on KRFY.org streaming, I hope they got to hear that song. You want to give
it's my mom's favorite song, actually, of mine. So
her name is
Lorraine.
Lorraine.
Yes.
Lorraine
everybody calls her Lori, but the song that I wrote about her was called Lorraine.
So yeah. Lorraine, if you're listening back there, back east, that one's for you, I think.
Aww.
That was fantastic. You have really strong rhythm device or whatever you want to call it. It's great.
Thank you.
What a beautiful song. So let's just flip back a little bit away from the music. Thanks for doing that song.
Sure.
You've lived here for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You said about 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
How did you pick Sandpoint? What are you doing here?
Well, you know, I moved from New York to California in 2010, and I loved the mountain, but I was starting to feel like that wasn't my place, you know, like I couldn't really find my place with the people there so much. And I had some friends from New York, actually, that had moved to Sandpoint in 2017. And I was looking for a place that was a little bit more, or I could be a little bit more self-sustainable, not just by myself, but also community. You know, I really was very interested in community, and I wasn't finding that in California where I was living, Northern California. I had the mountain, but, you know, a few friends that I really loved, but many of them had moved away. And so I think 2020 was a time a lot of people were making big changes, and I just knew that that wasn't the place for me, especially then. And this friend of mine who had moved here, I was actually thinking to call her and find out what it was like here. And one morning I was just kind of calling out to the universe, you know, give me a sign. You know, I read this book about locating to different places and what it was like to live in different places and all that. And so Idaho had come up on my radar, but I didn't know anyone other than those people here. So anyway, this one morning I was like, give me a sign. I want a really clear sign. And 2 hours later, she called me, and I hadn't talked to her in about a year and a half. And she was like, hey, I've been thinking about you. And that was it. I was like, you know what? I'm thinking of moving to Idaho. And she was like, what? Are you kidding? You got to come for a visit. And so a couple of weeks later, I planned a visit, and I found the place where I'm living now. And I never looked back. It's the best place I've ever lived. I mean, I just love Sandpoint so much. There's so many things that are incredible about this town. And even though, like, everyone from the East Coast, there's like, where are you living? Ohio? Iowa? So, so it's pretty funny. But, I mean, the beauty, the people, the music, the everything, it's just, I love it here.
So are you thinking this is home?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
this
good.
Is definitely home.
Well, we're fortunate. Another great musician has moved in, folks. And so what have you found with the music scene here? How does that suit you?
Well, you know, funnily enough, I actually wasn't playing music that much. I mean, I had recorded, you know, a lot of songs and made some music videos before I came here, and I wasn't really planning on playing live. I hadn't played live since that, you know, way back when I quit playing, pretty much. I'd done a few things, but not very much at all, and not with a band. And I happened to be getting some supplies that I needed at Home Depot one day. And I just happened to be having a conversation with the guy behind the counter, and it was overheard by somebody who was walking by. And he came over and said, you know, pardon me, but I overheard your conversation, and I really like what you were talking about. And I'm wondering if you would be, tell me, because I said I was a musician. He's like, can you tell me your name? Anyway, so he took my name down and emailed me the next day and said, you know what? I really love your music, and I love your whole perspective on life, and maybe we get together and play some music sometime. And now he's the bass player in my band.
And what's his name?
His name is Rich Simpson.
Okay. So that's another synchronistic moment
exactly.
in your life that has So what's the name of the band?
It's the Karen Atkins Band.
Okay.
Yeah. So which actually, at first, the drummer, who's Allie Thomas, she and I played for a short stint we never really got it off the ground, but we were going to play in a kind of 70s, 80s cover band. And we couldn't find they approached me because they wanted to be an all-girl band again, kind of interesting, but we couldn't find a bass player. And just the schedules of some of the people in the band just weren't working out. But she heard my music and said, you know, could I play in your band? and so we just started playing my music, and that's kind of how it came about.
So where do you play? How does that work here? Do you go out of town? Are you really seeking, a tour kind of thing?
Or? I mean, I would be open to that. We've mostly played in town. We did a gig at the conservatory this spring, and we'll actually be playing at a fundraiser for kids from Mexico coming and learning music in July. On July 6th, we'll be playing outside of the Heartwood Center. So we've just been, kind of playing at some restaurants and things in town, planning on doing a little bit of touring, maybe by myself and maybe a little bit with my bass player, and possibly Allie if she can make it out. She's got a busy schedule here in town.
So in close places, but you had mentioned possibly doing a house concert tour back east.
Yeah, exactly. I really like playing in an intimate setting, and now that I've been singing my songs more, it kind of makes sense to do that. And also, I have noted that there's a lack of music programs for kids, especially locally, but a lot of public schools are taking funding out of the arts in general, but especially music, and a lot of kids are left with no options for music education in elementary school and high school. And I just can't even imagine what my life would be like without having those opportunities to be involved in the chorus in school and all that kind of stuff and the band and everything. And so I'm going to just get together some of these in efforts to raise some money to get some programs, educational programs for these kids who don't have an opportunity to have lessons.
So the house concert tour of the East will generate some funds.
I hope so.
Yeah.
That's the plan. And I might continue it around here too.
Yeah.
To see what's out there. But I'd really love to, and I love sharing my music with a small audience that you can really talk to afterwards and get to know people. And, you know, it's that to me is very meaningful.
Right. I was just thinking, I taught a lot of years at the Waldorf School, and it would have been fun to bring you in for a class just to play music and have the children ask you about what you were doing and how you got to where you're at. So
yeah, well, I did do a songwriting workshop at the conservatory in April, and that went really well, and I think I'll be doing some more stuff with them as well.
Was Patrice Webb in that group?
No.
But do you know her?
I yes.
Friend of the station.
Yeah. Right.
So, okay. Let's move on a little bit. You have an album here, and this came. Why don't you tell us about that? It's called In My Room. It's beautiful. I listened to it.
Thank you.
I love it, actually. Why don't you tell us about how, a question would be, what's it like to put an album together? What do you like about recording? Or do you like live music better, but there's a reason for recording an album?
Well, actually, until recently, I would have told you I don't like playing live at all. I mean, I did back in the day, but after I quit, I didn't really miss playing live that much. But I do, since I've been here and playing, I've actually really enjoyed it. But I love recording music. And one of the things I love about it is how creative you can be. Because I do love collaborating. So the In My Room is my... It's not my most recent recording, but it's my most recent LP. And I worked with a gentleman named Zeno a lot on the album, on the production. And he also sang a lot of harmonies. And he's an incredible just harmony master. And we both love, love, love harmonies. So there's a lot of arranging that you can do. So like the song to me just comes alive. And, we have... you know, on a lot of my albums, I have like real strings and real, you know, just different instruments that I can't always get when I'm playing live because it's hard to find musicians and, you know, keyboard player or whatever.
You need a huge band.
Yeah. Right. So I love being able to get the music exactly the way I hear it, you know, and you can also sing 10 times if you want to just get the emotion that you want to have and all that kind of stuff. So I know a lot of people prefer live because there's the energy of connecting with the audience, which I really enjoy as well. But there really is something about just getting the feeling that I want, you know, out there on a recording, and then it's out there forever, or at least as long as recordings are around.
Well, that's a good explanation of the difference between live and recorded. There's a lot of dimension that you can put into a recording. And you got to work with this guy, Zeno, and that was in California.
Yes.
Mill Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you, when we were talking before the interview, you were talking about some really great musicians that got to be on the album with you.
Yeah, I was very fortunate.
You can name drop now.
Okay, yeah. yeah, these guys played with some pretty heavy hitters, Seal and Sarah McLachlan and Elton John and, you know, their Kurt Bisguera was the drummer and Reggie Hamilton was the bass player. And I heard Reggie playing at a bar. I was on a date with my boyfriend down in Southern California at one restaurant. And then we heard this music playing at this other restaurant, and he's a musician also, my boyfriend. So we went over there and listened, and this bass player just blew me away. I mean, I've never seen a bass player live like that. He just had so much energy and talent and creativity in his playing, and I was like, man, I would love to play with him. And so the next week, because I was living in Northern California at the time, and my boyfriend went down there to, because it was like a house band. And he went and talked to the guy and asked him if he would be open to recording with someone. And he said, oh, I don't know. Let me hear her stuff. You know? And I guess he liked my stuff. And that was that. And he played a lot with the drummer, Kurt. And they were just like lockstep together. And I actually cried when the first notes of the first song that we recorded together, which was a song called Crooked Daylight on the album. And I just, the sound of hearing these incredible musicians playing my music, I just started to cry.
I can imagine. And then when you got to play with them and they're backing you up.
Oh, yeah.
Must have been awesome.
It was incredible. Yeah.
So why don't we hear another or a couple songs?
Sure.
I'll let you kind of have the stage here.
Okay. The next song I'll play is a song called What Could Happen. And it's actually a little bit of the story about me leaving Manhattan, where I lived for 17 years. And it's funny because when I first wrote the song, I played it for my mom and she said, I don't think you should record that song. And now I'm thinking, you know, I was like, I don't know why. And she said, I don't like it. And I'm like, and later on I realized she didn't like the subject matter. She didn't want me leaving New York. But anyway, so after a while, I put it down for a while, and then I kind of re-listened to it and went, you know what? I actually really like this song, and I'm going to continue to play it. So this is a little reflection about leaving the big city. The bay. Now
choices I have made. Am I just a runaway, leaving dreams before the chance to fade? But that's not how it feels. I'm standing at this door, not so much to leave, but to believe. Left hand hurts and to see what could happen to me. Goodbye is rarely what it seems.
Thanks for sharing that with us. Leaving, what is it called?
What Could Happen is actually the title. In parentheses, Left Manhattan. But, you know, I figured I'd at least respect my mom enough not to call the song that.
So where can people find your music? Because, as you said, you have this album, but that's not the only place.
No, it's on, you know, all of the places that you would normally hear music. It's on Spotify, you know, Apple Music, Amazon, all the places. And also I have a lot of music videos on YouTube. Nice. And I just released a song and a video that I shot in Mexico this past February. And I actually edited myself, which was
fun.
Really fun. Never done that before. So all the places, those kind of places you can hear.
Karen Atkins.
Yeah, Karen Atkins. S. Yes.
Okay. When I was listening to that, I was thinking, you're telling a story. You're telling a story, but it's not always just a story. Sometimes it's the rhythm and the melody that kind of is the song. Sometimes it's the vocals, the words, the lyrics. So how is your song writing process?
Well, you know, with me, I don't think I've ever actually sat down and said, I'm going to write a song about this, like whatever it is, mm-hmm. right? I never really decide what my songs are going to be about until I start writing them. So normally I'll sit down and usually it's the guitar. Sometimes I write on the bass. I've written on the piano. I've written on the keyboard, you know, the guitar. Even one song I wrote on the drums, but not really. So I'm not really a drummer, but it's like some rhythm stuff. And the thing just starts to come out. And usually lyrics don't always come, but sometimes there's like the sound of the of whatever the maybe the hook is or something that wants to come out of me will come out. And sometimes the lyric will. And it usually comes out with a melody. So that often comes together with the chord progression. Occasionally I'll have a melody, like I'll wake up with a melody in my head in the morning or, you know, something like that. But usually it's just, I'm just playing around and something comes and then I get excited and then the thing kind of comes together. And that's often my process. And then I realize what the song is about by the emotion that starts to come from the words that I'm speaking by just letting them flow out of my mouth. I try not to censor myself. And then often the song will end up being pretty close to that, if not exactly that. And then I, you know, can sit for sometimes a while before I really finish the whole story. But yeah, that's how it starts.
Put it on a shelf for a little bit.
Sometimes. Depends. Yeah.
So I was listening to something off the album and I was driving, so I wasn't paying real close attention.
Yeah.
But it started out talking about something more esoteric about, you know, this earth and protecting it and taking care of it. But then it turned into love. Love is love or something like that. Do you remember which song that is?
Well, there's a song called Love is Love.
It might
and
be that
there's
one.
Also a song called By Your Side, which you may be talking about.
I think that could have been it.
And that that was, yeah, just inspired by, you know, really needing to participate in what's happening on our planet.
That's
and with the water, with the land, like how we treat water. I've actually spent about 6 months studying water restoration in the last year or so. And I think it's really important that people pay attention to how we're treating the earth. And so that song is really about how we can, what it is, though, it's not just about protecting the earth. And because the song, the chorus is By Your Side, I'll Be By Your Side. And the lyrics really speak to not fighting. Because
Work together?
Yeah, well, not just working together, but, you know, somebody that I've listened to in my life in the last number of years, she has a concept and she says, neither accepting nor rejecting. And there's like a third way. And then third way is what kind of world do we want to live in? And how do we want that to be? And then just modeling that, just going forth and acting on the way we feel we want to live, the kind of world, the loving world that we want to live in, as opposed to fighting something that we think is wrong or bad or evil or, you know, it's like, it's not evil. It's just, it is what it is. But if we can decide what we want to do, and the more of us that just live like that, the whole world can change. So actually that song is really about opening our hearts to the situation and finding a way to make it work as opposed to, I'm going to stop you from doing this horrible thing that you're doing. Because it doesn't really help. And, you know, like it's kind of the same energy, the accepting or the rejecting.
So another way.
Another way.
Be another song.
It very well could. I'll try it. I'll think about it.
Yeah. Just get the rhythm going. You'll find it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I was getting from that. But it was a beautiful song. And so do you have another song for us?
I do have one. This song is also kind of a new one. I've just recorded it. So at some point in the next 6 months or so, I hope to release this song. It's called From Now On, and it's kind of a different kind of love song. It's really about getting to know someone and looking at things from the long term.
Sandpoint premiere of this song?
I've played it live, but this is the first time it'll be on air, so okay. Here we go. Take your time, let's see the sights. We're riding on the slow train tonight. Set the world aside, it'll be all right. Gonna take the slow train tonight. I want
out to me till dawn. We'll learn each other's nights while we're on the snow train tonight. And when you know me well, you'll know then if it's right.
Crowd. Thank you. Yeah. I think we're kind of coming close to being out at the right time to kind of wrap it up a little bit. For some reason, when we downloaded your album into our system, we did not get By Your Side in, but I pulled up a song that we can go out with from the album. Do you have a preference beside? Like, I put Love is Love, but what would you like?
Whatever you think. Love is Love is a nice song. Julian, people like, but yeah, try Love is Love. Why not?
Okay. But I think we'd like to hear one more song first.
Okay, great. Let me just...
Because you had a bunch. You had Julian picked out, didn't you? To play.
I did. I could play that one.
Change your tuning. You have a special tuning... A megahertz thing you were talking about.
Yes. So I record and play most of my songs in 432 hertz, which is slightly kind of flatter than regular 440 tuning. And it's supposed, you know, it's kind of said to have a more harmonious effect on the body, and it's supposed to be kind of connected to universal frequencies and whatever. And so, yeah, it seems to make people a little happier. And so I like to do that. But yeah, so you wanted me to play Julian or?
Whatever one you want to. This is your
day. I think I'm going to play a really old song.
Okay.
It's a little more upbeat. I mean, Julian's upbeat too, but this song is called Switch Worlds. And this was actually on my album that I recorded in college. So I'm going to just go back and do that. It's
fantastic.
Now that I find I can sense
was off. That was fantastic. Whoa.
Thank
Definitely
you.
Younger vibe.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
And playing you know. Around on the top of the, or the upper, lower fretboard part. Cool. Very good. That was called Switch
song.
Worlds.
Switch Worlds.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm talking with Karen Atkins, mm-hmm. and local singer-songwriter and musician. And this has been way too much fun for me. I forgot to tell people what we were doing here. And so this is what we can do. It's community radio. We have the option to have live musicians in the studio. And how cool is that? I'd love to have you back sometime for my show, Between the Notes.
Sure.
And we could get basically into it some more. And just want a couple of reminders, and then we'll go out. And maybe we'll go out with a song that you had six songs.
Uh-huh.
Do you have another one?
I could play another one, yeah.
Okay. And let's see, tonight it's a little live radio hour. It's at the Little Panada Theater. It is with Sydney Dale, and she will be playing live down there. But you can stay home, turn on your radio to 88.5, and have a live concert delivered to your living room over the airwaves. So think about that for a minute and,
cool.
and join us at 8 p.m. at 88.5 KRFY. Saturday, June 1st. From 10 to 3, we're celebrating Community Radio Days down at the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint. Hopefully, if the weather's good, we'll have the garage doors open. And we want the whole community is invited to come down, see what community radio is all about, and experience it a little bit. There'll be five bands playing, the Accidentals, Global Gumbo, Little Wolf, Right Front Burner, and I think maybe one more. So you can join us. Come on down. Go to the farmer's market. Come on down to the Music Conservatory. That's on the corner of Main and 2nd. And all the rest of the week from Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we're having special live broadcasting for our on-air special. So like us on Facebook. You'll get announcements about what we're doing and what's happening. But at 8 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and another live musician in the studio, Chuck Mills, will be here tomorrow from 4 to 5. So stay with us. And if you feel like becoming a friend of KRFY's, you can do that by making a donation. We're not asking for anything over the top, but we really want to grow our community here that supports the station. You can do that by going to krfy.org. There's a PayPal donate button, or you can send a check to P.O. Box 2465, Sandpoint, Idaho, 83864. And you get to be part of something really special. And Karen, thanks for coming up and being part of what we do here.
Thanks so much for having me. This is really fun.
Yeah. So what's the last song you're going to play? And we'll just go out with that.
I'm going to play a song called Back Home, another home song. And this song I wrote for my best friend who passed away in 2019. And it's really just about coming home to yourself in a way, and just the connection that we have with one another and with the stars.
Sit beside me and let's talk a while. Your dreams, I'll tell you mine, and we'll stare into the edge of time, fly into the moon, open up and let me take your hand, make a promise that we'll give it time, just to see how all our love will shine. Now that together, you and I, we can leave our lonely days behind. this love is with us for all time. Now that we found our ancient star, we're already one. We have traveled far, but it's time.
Music, and thanks for sharing it with KRFY listeners today. It's beautiful. What a beautiful song.
Thank you.
And that's Karen Atkins, and we're going to go out with one of her songs from her album, In My Room. This is Love is Love. Stay tuned for whatever's next at 5 o'clock. Jack, what is it? It's
Truly Live Radio. I love it.
Truly Live Radio. That's what we're doing here. Letters in Politics. That's right. Okay. Thanks, folks, for listening. This is 88.5 KRFY. Pondere. Here's Karen Atkins' song, Love is Love.